says Giacomo. I've told you such displays are not necessary in private.
He raised the nearly perfect roundness of his face, the dark brown of one eye and the pale milky blue of the other set in tight folds. The scar that bisected his right eye curved through his eyebrow and onto his cheek. I'd thought he was blind in the eye, and so had some of the other guards in fight practice. They'd tried to go for his blind side, and he'd kicked their ass because the eye worked. Not as well as the other one, but he could see out of it. Giacomo rose as he was bid and gave that nearly infectious smile of his. Nikki was just behind him and Magda. He still had his hair swept to one side so that the scars over his right eye were visible. The two big men stood there with their different scars over the same eye, and it was striking. Two such men with similar injuries on the same eye. What were the odds? Nikki led Magda and Giacomo to where the floor was broken. They stared down at it, and then Giacomo leaned into Nikki and whispered something. Nikki told Emmanuel and Harris to man the door from the other side, and they did it, though Emmanuel looked back as he closed the door.
Why did we need privacy? I asked.
Because I know who did this, Giacomo said.
Who? Sin said, coming to stand beside Jean-Claude and me.
You.
Sin blinked at him.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any ability to do whatever this is, he said, waving vaguely in the floor's direction.
Magda said,
Did you feel a rush of power just before it happened?
We were having sex. I wasn't thinking about anything else.
Actually, there was a rush of power from him, I said.
It was just my beast, Anita. You know that orgasm is one of the times that the inner beast comes closest to the surface.
I know. That's why all the good little boy and girl shapeshifters get chained up for their first orgasms, so they don't kill anyone by accident.
You were sensing that, he said.
Did you change shape? Magda asked.
He shook his head.
Giacomo looked at us. My king, did you sense anything from him?
As he said, we were having sex with Anita between us. It is always magical to be with her when she feeds the ardeur. It tends to blind you to any other power.
It can be quite overwhelming, Magda said.
Then perhaps the young prince did not understand what was happening.
I did not do that, Sin said, pointing at the floor.
You are a pure-blooded Blue Clan tiger.
I know that.
Earth is what your clan controlled.
I know blue tiger is earth, red is fire, white is metal, black is water, and gold is sun.
Or controls all the other clans, Sin said,
repeating it the way you'd say something you were forced to memorize in school but didn't really want to.
Have you seen Crispin call the small lightning to his hands?
It's like superstatic electricity is all, Sin said.
But it is still the power of his clan manifesting since he became Anita's white tiger to call. And the prince of the Red Clan can now call fire to his hands after becoming Anita's Red Tiger.
A little superstatic electricity and fire like a match appearing in your hand is not the same thing as cracking the floor open, Sin said, pointing at the damage again.
I could feel his fear bubbling along my own stomach.
Our new queen has not seen the Red Prince in over a year. And Crispin is no longer blessed to be among her lovers, but you are much admired by her,
Giacomo said, being so polite about it that it sounded like he wasn't talking about sex at all. Wait, I said. Are you saying that Sin's power is more because I'm sleeping with him regularly?
Yes, because it is the coin of your vampire line. If you had been descended from a different bloodline, then other types of proximity would have had a similar effect.
So if Anita slept more often with the other two, then their power would grow? Magda asked.
I believe so.
So why hasn't Dev's power grown? She and Jean-Claude are sleeping with him regularly, Sin asked.
He has the ability to shape-shift into a lion, as well as a gold tiger, and he has gifted Micah with a second beast shape as well. I would say that Dev's powers are growing.
Crispin and the Red Tiger both showed their powers years ago. I've never had anything like this happen before, Sin said.
Some things take a time, Giacomo said.
Domino and I slept with Anita the same night a few months after Crispin. Are you saying that we'll both get powers?
I have never heard of someone who was a mixed clan blood exhibiting their bloodline's powers.
So because Domino is half white clan and half black, you think he won't exhibit any of the clan magic? I asked.
I have seen the Tiger Clans when they were at their most powerful, and only the pure-blooded among them could work their most powerful spells.
So why did it take this long for Sin? He's pure-blooded Blue Tiger, I asked.
He was too young.
He's been legally an adult for a couple of years, I said.
Legal adulthood by modern standards is merely an agreed-upon number. Some teenagers I see in this country are very grown up years before they are 18, and others seem to be stuck in a perpetual childhood, Giacomo said.
Are you saying this proves I'm an adult Blue Tiger?
Yes, Sinric, that is exactly what I am saying.
Sin, not Sinric, he said automatically.
It is your choice, but Prince Sinric seems to roll off of the tongue a little more sweetly than Prince Sin.
Prince Sin sounds like a rock star name, I said, smiling and taking his hand to take the sting out of it.
Nah, Nikki said. It's a porn star name.
I'm not Prince anything. It's just Sin.
Legally, it's still Sinric, Jean-Claude said.
Sin frowned at him. Again, there was that echo of the younger Sinric when sullen was more his style. It was not a style that was going to win him the brass ring. Oh, my bad, the gold ring. Jean-Claude would never do anything as inexpensive as brass.
By any name, you have grown into your powers of Earth, Giacomo said.
Or perhaps it is that this is the first time he has been intimate with both Anita and me?
Perhaps, Giacomo said.
You said yourself that Dev has gained power, and he is lover to us both.
So is Fortune, and she hasn't manifested Earth powers, and she is older than me by centuries, so she was old enough.
But she is not Anita's Blue Tiger to call.
You are, Giacomo said.
If I did tear up the floor, I didn't do it on purpose, and I don't know how to do it again.
It is like your inner beast, Sinric, Sin. You will learn how to control it and how to use it more knowledgeably, as you have more practice, Giacomo said.
If this is my power, then how dangerous is it going to be? I mean, my tiger form could kill people if I weren't in control of it. Legends say that the blue tigers could cause earthquakes and destroy entire armies. That's an exaggeration, right?
No, it is not an exaggeration. I have stood upon a mountain and watched 10 of your clan call their magic together and raise the earth itself against an enemy army. You, on your own, even with more training, could not wreak such havoc. But I am glad to see that the clan that raised you told you the history of your people, but do not fear your powers.
Queen Bibiana made certain that I knew the history of all the clans. We thought the gold tigers were extinct centuries ago, so Bibiana wanted the white clan, her clan, to be up to speed on all the legends and history so they could lead if it was needed.
I'm not sure the other remaining clans would allow that, Giacomo said.
Sin shrugged.
Bibi wanted us ready just in case. She knew the Red Tiger's queen wasn't teaching anyone the legends because she'd asked. Their queen thought the legends were done because the gold tigers were gone, and the only known blue tiger and black tigers left were enslaved to the Harlequin, who served the mother of all darkness, our greatest enemy. No offense on the enslaved part.
None taken. When our dark mother was still alive, we were all slave to her plans and wishes, Giacomo said.
We have all been slaves to one vampire or another in our time, Jean-Claude said.
Giacomo bowed to him.
True and wise words, Your Highness.
The main reason she has agents looking at foundlings across the world is to find any survivors of the lost clans, Sin said.
I would have said there would be no survivors, but here you are, my prince. The new genetic tests have proven that you are as pure of blood as Fortune, who is the last of the blue clan that I knew to be alive, Giacomo said.
There was something about the way he looked at Sin that I didn't like. He was centuries older than Jean-Claude, so he should have been even better at hiding his expressions. But I'd noticed that a lot of the Harlequin weren't that good at schooling their faces.
I'd asked Echo about it and been told,
"We wore masks almost all the time. No one saw our face except when we played a part to gather information, and then we were playing human. We needed our faces to show emotions."
It was as good an explanation as any. I was nearly 2 when someone left me at a church. I was well-fed, well-clothed, a happy, well-adjusted toddler. Someone took care of me for all that time and then just left me.
There were rumors of clan tigers here in this country, but we were not the ones sent to investigate,
Magda said. Bibi figured that either my parents had left me to save me from what was hunting them, or they had died and whoever they left me with didn't want to deal with a baby. I put my arms around his bare waist and hugged him. He looked down at me, but his face still held that edge of anger, sullenness, and deeper in those rich blue eyes was the uncertainty of it. How could they leave me? Why would they leave me? Was it something I did? Why didn't they want me? All the questions that children who are lost ask about their past. Jean-Claude gripped Sin's shoulder tight. I expected him to hug us, but he didn't. He kept that almost artificial distance from us. I put an arm around both their waists and tried to draw us into a group hug, but Jean-Claude resisted. Sin looked at him then.
You're afraid to hug me now. Why?
Let us say that I am no longer certain of how to interact with you.
A look of absolute pain came over his face, and the emotion of it crashed the shields between us. He was sad and scared that he'd screwed up a relationship that he valued. He suddenly felt very young in my head, because it hadn't occurred to him that sleeping together even just this much would change things between them. Nikki came over and wrapped us all in one huge group hug.
Don't get weird about it, Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude hesitated for a minute and then finally hugged us all, so that we were entwined and it wasn't sexual. It was comforting. It was family. Sin's muscled shoulders began to shake, and it took me a second to realize he was crying. Jean-Claude touched his face and dried the tears away with his hands. The look he gave Sin wasn't romantic. It was very much Uncle Jean-Claude to his beloved nephew, and that was why he wouldn't be able to put a ring on it. Sin had to decide if he was willing to lose Jean-Claude as his uncle, his father figure, to make him a romantic partner. But he had to decide, because he and Jean-Claude couldn't do both.
Chapter 32. We said goodbye to everyone at the circus rather than at the airport for a lot of reasons. One, it made more sense from a security point of view. 2, we were already needing 2 large SUVs to get the luggage and us to the airport. It would have taken even more to get everyone to the airport who wanted to say goodbye. 3, we could say goodbye as enthusiastically as we wanted to without someone snapping a picture with their cell phone and posting it on the internet. Jean-Claude was the vampire of everyone's dreams, which meant that just snapping a good picture with your phone could get you money from some gossip sites. The luggage had been carried up the long steps by other guards like overly muscled ants, trip after trip. They'd loaded everything into the cars outside, and it was time to go. Jean-Claude and I had kissed goodbye in private, but seeing him standing there made me want to do it again. He broke from the kiss to touch the ring on my left hand. It was platinum, white gold, channel set with white diamonds and one large oval dark blue sapphire. All the stones were set into the metal, and it was all smooth so that it wouldn't catch on anything, including the rubber gloves that I wore at crime scenes. The ring was still shining and beautiful, but it was practical, and I needed that for my job. Most cops wore plain bands or nothing to work, but Jean-Claude had wanted me to wear his promise ring always, and his promise would never be just a plain band of gold. No, he was all about the shiny.
Ma petite, he said as he turned the ring on my finger. I never thought to see my ring upon your finger, and now all I can think of is how much I want to add a wedding ring to it.
We're working on it, I said, looking up into that almost painfully beautiful face.
Yes, yes we are, he said, smiling down at me.
I'd shared enough of his thoughts to know that he thought I was beautiful and sexy and utterly desirable, but I didn't understand it. I was good at sex, so maybe the sexy part, but I was also a royal pain in the ass in other areas. He had been one of the most beautiful men in the world for centuries.
How does one mortal woman, any woman, compare to that?
Nathaniel put his hand over ours, wrapping his hand so that we were all touching the ring, or maybe the ring was touching us.
It's a promise ring not just for you and Anita, but for all of us.
He raised his face for a kiss, and who would be able to turn Nathaniel down? They kissed, and just watching them so close while we all held hands made things low in my body tighten. It was a less chaste kiss than the one they'd had in the bedroom when Damien was with us. I realized that both times it had been Nathaniel who upped the ante, not Jean-Claude. Was the great seducer being seduced? I didn't have a problem with it. The men in my life being closer to each other usually worked in my favor. Micah might feel differently, but he wasn't here right now. So I just enjoyed touching them both and having my ringside seat for their kiss.
Jean-Claude, you cannot allow them to go to our island,
said a voice from behind us. It was Asher. He was tall, pale, handsome, with long golden hair spilling around his shoulders. Nothing would ever make Asher physically less than gorgeous, but physical wasn't everything. The bodyguards around the room came to attention, because the last time we'd interacted with Asher, it had gotten nasty. I knew they were under orders to not let us be alone with him. His emotional instability made him dangerous, and sometimes that danger wasn't just to your heart. This is for my job, Asher. Jean-Claude doesn't control that. My voice was as angry as I felt. Nathaniel was right. We missed Asher topping us in the dungeon. I missed him being part of a threesome with Jean-Claude and me. I hated that I hadn't found anyone to replace Asher in those two places in my life. The opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference. And I wasn't indifferent to him yet. Which pissed me off because I knew better. Asher had spilled his hair across half his face like a golden veil, and like most veils, it was hiding things. His eyes were as pale a blue as Jean-Claude's were dark, a brilliant, icy blue. I caught the gleam of one through the lace of his hair, but the other eye was bright and visible, set in a face that was so gorgeous that he'd been the artist's model for paintings of angels and gods.
I have always respected your job, Anita. Whatever mistakes I have made in the past, I never presumed to tell you your job. And I am not now, but do not take Damien back to his old master, and do not give her Nathaniel.
We aren't taking him back to his old master, and we sure as hell aren't giving her anyone, let alone Nathaniel. Asher held his hand out toward us, but it was Jean-Claude he was giving the weight of those eyes, that face.
Jean-Claude, you have been at her mercy as well as I. You know what she is and what she is capable of. Please, by all that is holy, all that is left us, do not put our flower-eyed boy within her grasp.
I'm not your flower-eyed boy anymore, Asher, Nathaniel said.
Asher's eyes glittered, and I realized it was unshed tears.
And that is my fault, my flaws that drove you away. You have no idea how much I regret what I have done in the past few months. Only Juliana's death is a greater regret to me.
We all stared at him. Juliana's death had been the great tragedy that had driven a wedge between him and Jean-Claude. She had been their heart, and when she died, it died with them.
That is a bold statement, mon ami. If only you meant it.
I swear to you, Jean-Claude, that I mean every word.
Your word of honor?
Yes!
Asher was an old enough vampire that to give his word of honor meant something. An oathbreaker was not trusted among the older vampires, and for some broken oaths, it was a death sentence.
Such contrition does not seem like something you would feel, Jean-Claude said.
I have been full of regret for weeks, but I could not decide, create a way to convince you of my deep regret until I heard what you are planning, and then I did not care if you believed. I would rather give up Nathaniel forever than let him go to that cursed beast.
That was the first thing he'd said that I was really interested in. I asked, do you mean that literally? Is she who made Damien old enough to be a lycanthrope and a vampire like the mother of all darkness was? And do you mean a real curse or are you just being dramatic? Asher shook his head so that his hair swung, just enough to give a glimpse of the scars that he was using it to hide. He used his hair a lot like Nikki did, except Asher simply let the long waves spill down over his scars. Of course, he had more of them to cover. He had two good eyes, but an inch or two out from the corner of his kissable mouth were burn scars. They trailed down his cheek and skipped his neck, but the right side of his chest looked like it had melted and reformed. Holy water acts like acid on vampire flesh, and that was what the church had used to try to burn the devil out of Asher centuries ago.
She is a beast in the old sense of being a monster, but she cannot transform her physical body. She is a vampire, and we are all cursed, but beyond that, I am being dramatic, as you say.
We were with her a few centuries ago. You are being overly dramatic, Jean-Claude said.
I was with her longer than you, Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude drew Nathaniel and me into his arms so he could hug us both. I don't know if it was to comfort himself or to rub Asher's losses in his face. I didn't care, I was good with both. Asher deserved to be reminded that he'd behaved so badly he'd lost all of us and more in one fell swoop.
After you fled to the New World, Belle had less use for me. She could not use me to torment you anymore.
We have been through this, Jean-Claude said, his voice very serious and very unhappy,
but his arms tightened around us, so that we both curled an arm around his waist to let us be as close as he seemed to want. He could look and sound calm, justified, but he didn't feel it.
I am not saying you were to blame. I am merely explaining that she was less careful of me after she could not use me against you.
You know I am sorry for everything that happened between us back then.
I know, and I am sorry that I blamed you for so many years, but that is beside the point tonight, Jean-Claude. I was not traded for Damien for a few hours a night as you and I were, but given to her for months. Damien was there while I was her prisoner.
Neither of you has ever spoken of this to me.
We vowed we would not speak of it even to each other. Do you remember how frightening she was when we were with her for only a few hours at a time in Belle's cot?
Jean-Claude lowered his face against Nathaniel's hair, as if he were smelling the vanilla of his hair to comfort himself. I did it sometimes, too.
That I remember those terrible hours is why I bargained for Damien's freedom from her and brought him here.
He almost managed to keep his voice even. Almost.
Then imagine being with her for months.
Jean-Claude just shook his head.
I cannot. I do not wish to dwell on the horrors that did not happen to me, for there are enough that did.
3 months was my sentence to serve as part of her entourage in Ireland. I was warned that I might die at my first dawn there and not wake again. That frightened me until I had been there a few weeks, and then I began to half hope I would not wake again.
We've shared some of Damien's memories, and they're pretty terrible, but wait. Why wouldn't you wake at dusk? Did they tell you that just to scare you? I asked.
Not every vampire that traveled to Ireland woke the first night they slept there. No one knows why, but it's as if the land itself is not friendly to our kind.
People keep telling me that my necromancy may not work in Ireland, or it's not supposed to, and that vampirism isn't as contagious there.
I do not know about zombies. If anyone could call them from the grave there, it would be you, but they are right about vampires. Even if you give the 3 bites over the 3 different nights and drain them dry on the 3rd, it does not guarantee they will rise as one of us. I saw 6 humans who should have risen as vampires there that did not.
Did their bodies start to rot? I asked. He had to think about that for a minute.
I know that she kept 2 of the bodies for quite some time and they did rot. The others were discarded sooner.
Why did she keep the bodies until they rotted? I asked. The look on his face was all for Jean-Claude, as if the look should be enough without words. It wasn't for me. What are you trying to tell each other?
Did she hope that the bodies would rise as something? Jean-Claude asked.
One of the reasons she wanted me, other than the obvious one, was to have a vampire that wasn't of her making. She had hoped that I would be able to make more vampires for her, but it worked no better for me than it did for her own vampires.
Did you ever see her try to bring over a vampire herself? I asked.
I did. She was able to create one of us, but the second one did not rise for her any more than the others.
You know, you being in Ireland might have been good information for Damien to share with me.
He and I were never friends, but we vowed that each of us would tell our halves of the story but not mention the other if we ever spoke of it at all.
Nathaniel said,
I think Damien's fighting his own fears so hard that he's not thinking clearly about what information might be helpful to you and the police.
I glanced at him and felt the beginnings of my irritation fall away. If Asher was this scared of the wicked bitch of Ireland, then Damien must have been petrified.
He's hiding it really well then, even metaphysically, I said.
He's being very brave, Nathaniel said.
Yeah, he is, I said. I added, damn it, to myself.
So are we risking Echo and Giacomo by taking them to Ireland? Nathaniel asked.
Shit, I said. I do not believe so, Jean-Claude said. How do we know they'll be okay?
The reason I was at risk was that I was not a master vampire, Asher said. But the Harlequin are all masters who gave up their rights to territories of their own to become permanently part of the Royal Guard.
Of course they are, I said. They all have animals to call, and you only get that as a master. I wanted to slap my forehead in a could-have-had-a-V8 moment.
Except for Damien, you are taking only masters, Jean-Claude said.
Okay, good to know I'm not risking anyone else like that.
But if I understand what is happening, there is a plague of vampires in Ireland.
There's a bunch of them in Dublin, and more people coming up missing every night.
But the newly arisen are never masters, Asher said.
So there shouldn't be a lot of them in Ireland, I said.
No, there should not be.
Did anyone ever say why the vampires didn't rise the way they were supposed to? I asked. He thought about it, looking at the floor, frowning, but finally shook his head.
Nah, just that it was something to do with the land, that the land didn't like our kind.
The Harlequin told us that the land is more alive because it has such a high concentration of fey magic, and that's why the dead didn't rise there.
Then why are they rising now? Asher asked.
One theory is that the wild magic is fading in Ireland finally, like it has throughout the world. It would fade in the cities first, and that's where all the new vamps have appeared so far.
I cannot speak to any of that, but I know that what you are describing would never have happened with Milady at her full strength. Something must be wrong.
I almost asked if she had forced him to call her that, but I didn't. If she had, she had. No need for me to rub it in. We're going to Ireland to try to fix what's wrong.
Do you know why she wanted me in Ireland with Sir Anita?
I shrugged. You're beautiful and great in bed. Normally that would have made him smile, but not tonight. He swept his hair aside so that all his face was visible. He did that so rarely that it was almost startling. The scars really didn't cover that much of his face. We all found him still beautiful, but for him the scars were nearly everything. He dropped his hair but didn't try to hide behind it again.
She wanted this, my beauty, marred.
He lifted the edge of the oversized dress shirt up so that he exposed the much more serious scars that covered him from chest to belt on that one side. The scars were deep runnels in the roughened skin over almost every inch of that side of his upper body, but the other side was still smooth and perfect as it was the day that Jean-Claude met him. I'd shared some of those memories, so I knew what Asher had looked like before the church had tried to burn the devil out of him.
That is her great pleasure, to see beauty that is spoiled in some way. She whispered to both Jean-Claude and me what she would do to us if she could. After seeing what the Inquisitors had done to me, Milady said she could not have done better herself, that it was perfect.
Jean-Claude reached out toward him.
Do not torment yourself, mon ami.
Asher let his shirt fall back into place.
Some think her kind, because she will collect those who are marred as her lovers. Many of us think we will never be loved again after we are deformed, so it is a miracle to some. I saw her collect a woman who had lost a limb in an accident. She was not a lover of women, but she brought her to be the lover for others of us. But she grew bored easily with most of them, and if there was not someone who had met some horrible fate as I had, or the woman had, then Milady would create her own.
What do you mean create her own?
Nathaniel asked.
She found another young woman, a dark beauty who would have been worthy of Bell's court. She was not when Milady finished with her. She kept her as a servant. The torture was sexual for her, but she seemed to enjoy just having the woman near her with that great beauty ruined.
Damien said that she couldn't bear anyone being more beautiful than she was, I said.
And you would take yourself, Nathaniel, Mephistopheles, and Damien to her. Even Echo should go nowhere near Milady. All of you would tempt her to create her ideal of marred beauty. Nicky would be perfect with his missing eye and scars. He would at least be safe from her adding to his injuries.
Wait, she had Damien with her for centuries and didn't do this to him, and he's beautiful.
He was handsome enough, but not as beautiful as you have made him, Anita.
His nose had been broken before he came to her, and even that imperfection was enough to quiet her urges toward him. But your magic has straightened his nose and changed the very bone structure of his face. He is beautiful now, Anita. Do you not understand what she would do to him now, if he ever comes into her power again?
We will be with the police the whole time, I said.
Asher shook his head. She thought I was even more beautiful like this, and the woman she scarred was one of the few vampires we managed to make while I was there.
Are you saying you brought over the woman she'd scarred? I asked.
I thought she would die like the others. I thought it was mercy to end her life and free her from Milady. But she rose. She lived when I wanted her, and she wanted herself to die. Ironic, isn't it? God's little sense of humor, or perhaps the devil's. I no longer know who rules in some places on Earth. If God is a God of love, then he cannot rule over the evil that is Milady. And if the devil rules her, he must pray that she never dies in truth, because she would rule his kingdom in 100 years.
Now you are just being overly dramatic, I said. He went down on his knees in front of us, raising his hands upward as if beseeching us.
I beg of you, Anita, do not take Nathaniel's beauty to Ireland.
I am standing right here, Nathaniel said, and he was angry.
I see you, my flower-eyed boy.
I am not a boy, I am a man, and you do not get to talk around me as if I'm not standing right in front of you.
Please, Nathaniel, I could not bear it if she destroyed your beauty. Please do not go.
We're going to be late for the plane,
he said, and his voice was cold with anger. He started to walk away, but Asher grabbed his hand and mine. The bodyguards were moving in, and one was touching his ear mic, which meant backup would be coming. There were 4 of them and us. If we needed backup from Asher, then things would have gone horribly wrong. I didn't think they'd go that pear-shaped, so I held up my free hand and waved them back. He hadn't hurt us. Yet. If we were this afraid of him, then no apology in the world would matter. So I waved them back and hoped I didn't regret it later.
Let go of me, Nathaniel said.
What he said. I didn't try to tug my hand free because I knew better than to try to outmuscle a vampire, but I wanted to pull a little. It was just automatic.
I love you. I love you both. I could not bear either of you being at her mercy. The thought of it sickens me.
The tears that had glittered in his eyes earlier were back, but this time they began to slide down his cheeks. The tears were tinged pink with blood like all vampire tears. The color was faint enough that if I hadn't known to look for it, I might not have seen it, but I knew to look, and so there it was. It took a little of the pitiful out of him crying to know that his tears were stained with the blood of whoever he'd fed off of tonight. Yeah, they'd been a willing victim, but still.
Don't make me use my safe word, Nathaniel said.
Asher let go of his hand, but clung to mine with both of his.
Please, Anita.
What Nathaniel said.
Asher hesitated and then dropped his hands to his side, still on his knees with tears flowing faster down his face. They were leaving little pinkish trails down his skin so that you could see where every single one of them had fallen. Jean-Claude couldn't stand it and reached out for him. Asher took his hands in his and started speaking rapid French. Jean-Claude shook his head.
No, mon ami, they must understand your apology. I am weak when it comes to you, so it is them that you must win back. I will not come to your bed again unless they do, for they see you more clearly than I do.
I felt Nathaniel startle beside me. I glanced at him and he was already looking at me. The love of several lifetimes was holding Jean-Claude's hands, but it was up to us whether they ever got back together. No pressure. Asher kept Jean-Claude's hands, but turned to us.
I miss you both.
You said that already, Nathaniel said.
I realized that he was angrier than I was at Asher, which meant that the other man was or had been more important to him than he had been to me. I knew part of it was that I liked bondage and submission, but it wasn't the serious need to me that it was to Nathaniel. Asher had been an almost perfect top for him in the dungeon. Apparently Nathaniel missed it more than I'd realized, which was probably a relationship dropped ball on my part, or Micah's on my part. He let go of Jean-Claude's hands and knelt in front of us. We were left staring down into those perfectly pale eyes like winter skies are supposed to be and almost never are.
His lashes were darker than his hair, as were his eyebrows, so that the eyes were framed dramatically as if he'd used makeup to emphasize them. But I knew it was just natural coloring. He and Jean-Claude were both just that gorgeous. It was what had made Belmore collect them in the first place. He lifted those large, long-fingered hands, thicker than Jean-Claude's through the fingers, and I'd thought for a while that Asher would bulk up more in the gym if he was willing to put the work into weights. But since he wasn't, it didn't really matter. He wasn't a weightlifting kind of guy. He spread those pale hands upward, let all those golden waves fall back so that his whole face was visible, both the beauty of it and the scars that he thought marred it.
I miss you bound and waiting for me to cause you pleasure and pain. I miss the sounds that Nathaniel makes when I am flogging him, the way his skin parts underneath a whip, and how he heals magically from it and asks for more. I miss the sounds Anita makes when we make love to her together. I miss the feel of our bodies piercing her at the same time. I miss sharing Anita with Jean-Claude in that way that we have done for centuries. I miss the feel and smell of your skin, Nathaniel, Anita. I miss plunging my tongue between her legs and taking you in my mouth. I love the way you want me to use my fangs at the end and bleed you so that I drink you down twice.
I felt Nathaniel give a little shudder beside me. I was pretty sure it wasn't a bad shudder. My own heart was beating faster. Damn it.
If you miss me at all, then I beg you to give me one more chance. I know I do not deserve it.
How are we ever going to trust you again?
Nathaniel asked, and his voice was a lot more even than the pulse in the side of his throat. I gave him points for that. I was pretty sure that my own voice would shake if I tried right now.
I do not know.
How will we ever trust you to tie us up and hurt us if we can't trust you to value us at all?
His voice was part anger and part loss, which pretty much summed up being in a relationship with Asher.
I do not know, but I want more than anything in the world to win back your trust. What can I do to prove my sincerity to you both?
Nathaniel and I exchanged glances. He said,
I'm not sure.
I looked down at Asher. Those eyes, those lips, that face, that hair, the hands reaching out to me that knew so many secrets about what I enjoyed. I don't know, Asher. Every time I think we've found a way for all of us to be together, you manage to find a new way to screw things up.
I know it is me. My need to have Jean-Claude put me above all others continues to destroy my own happiness. I also know that it is never going to happen, not only because he needs a woman in his life, but because neither of us is content with only each other. I am no more happy being with only one person than Jean-Claude is. I thought that if I could have one person put me above all others, then this continuous need inside me would be filled and I would be happy, content at last, but I have had that for months and I am miserable.
Maybe that's who you're with, I said.
I thought that at first, but I understand now that no one person meets all the needs and demands I put upon them. I am too much for one person to bear, like a weight that needs more hands to carry.
I wasn't sure what to say to that because it sounded damned accurate.
You really are working your therapy,
Nathaniel said, and his face showed how surprised he was. Me too.
I resented you forcing me to go away at first, but as I became less happy with Ken, I finally realized that I was with a man who was as needy and jealous as I was. It was a taste of my own medicine, as they say. It was a very bitter pill. Ken was as obsessed by me as I had thought I wanted first Belmore, and then Jean-Claude, and finally Juliana to be with me. But obsession is not love. It is insecurity, possession, and it leads to misery.
It was the dream apology that you always sort of want, but you never get. It was like a Hallmark moment, or maybe a Dr. Phil moment. The kind that never really happens, but here he was, our problem child, offering up everything we could have wanted in an apology. It was great and unsettling as hell. Like there should be cameras rolling and someone to jump out and say, "Just kidding!"
I love you, Anita Blake. I love you, Nathaniel Grayson. I miss making love to you both. I miss fucking you. I miss chaining you up and doing nefarious things to you until you beg me to stop, or until I make the decision that all dominance must make with such charming pain sluts. So Anita will safe word when needed, but you, my Nathaniel, you do not know when to say when, and I love that about you.
Nathaniel held out his hand, and after a moment, so did I. We let him wrap his hands around us and pulled him to his feet. I don't know what I would have said, but it was Nathaniel who spoke first.
Are you going to apologize to Dev, too?
God, yes, I have treated him the worst of the three of you, I think. Jean-Claude, having put up with me for centuries, is ahead in needing me to apologize for so many things, but I owe Mephistopheles something truly... I do not know how to apologize to him. I was so cruel, and I let Ken be cruel to him as well.
Are you just apologizing to him, or are you wanting him back in your life too? I asked.
I did not appreciate how easy Mephistopheles made the relationship. I thought love had to come with fights and drama, so what I had with him couldn't be love.
And now?
Nathaniel asked it ahead of me.
Now I see him in Jean-Claude's bed, all smiles and a very content cat, and it hurts me.
Does it hurt you to see Jean-Claude with another man, or to see Dev happy with someone else?
Nathaniel asked. Asher sighed, and it was for effect, but he was always going to be a bit of a drama queen. It was just part of who he was as a person. You can modify yourself and learn to do better, but your basic personality remains.
I am not sorry to see Mephistopheles happy with someone else. He deserves that. I have seen him walking hand in hand with you as well, Nathaniel. I was jealous that all of you had picked up that which I threw away and found it gold where I had seen only dross. But that was at first. I began to see more and more how much Cain had poisoned me against our handsome devil. But it was I who had listened to the poison and let it take root.
You're taking responsibility for everything. What the hell? Did they put you on antidepressants? I asked.
Anti-anxiety medication, yes.
All three of us stared at him.
Mon ami, Jean-Claude said, and the surprise showed in his voice.
Asher started to look embarrassed, but I squeezed his hand and said, I'm proud of you. It was Asher's turn to look surprised.
Very proud of you,
Nathaniel said. I honestly didn't expect you to get that much use out of the therapist we made you go see, I said.
I, too, thought you were going because we said you must,
Jean-Claude said, moving up beside us.
I admit that at first it was just as you feared, but I was so unhappy without all of you. So many needs, not just wants, but needs, that you all had filled for me, and now I had nothing. Even Narcissus in the dungeon and the bedroom, he likes a level of humiliation that none of you would tolerate, let alone desire.
If you're going to apologize to Narcissus, you might want to do it in a neutral setting with bodyguards to protect you, I said.
Surely not bodyguards.
Asher,
Nathaniel said.
We've all been going to therapy too. Narcissus hasn't.
He is dangerous, mon ami.
Very dangerous, I said. You hurt his ego and you damaged his reputation. He's still fighting to regain the respect of his own hyenas.
Ken says that the hyenas have gone back to their old ways and it is business as usual.
If Cain truly believes that, then he's delusional in more than one way, I said.
How is he delusional?
Asher asked. That someone as vindictive as Narcissus won't get his revenge on Cain and you. That obsession is the same thing as love. That if you're possessive enough and want it badly enough, the person you love will love you as much as you love them. That any one person could keep you content.
Even I thought that the right person could do the last part.
I shook his hand where he still held mine. You were delusional too, remember?
He smiled. Yes, I do.
We really do need to get going, Anita,
Nathaniel said. I looked at him and there was a new, more serious person looking back at me. He'd probably been stronger and more sure of himself for a few months, but I hadn't quite realized it until this moment when he stood there holding someone he'd been in love with enough to want to put a ring on it, and he was ready to leave him and the apology of epicness behind.
My words have not moved you, Asher said.
The apology is great, almost perfect, and if you can do the same for Dev, then we can all sit down when we come home and talk about being together again. But I'm still going to Ireland.
Do you think I am lying?
No, but we will be with the police. And one of the good things about vampires being known under the law is that they have to obey the law, too. So if she tries to harm Damien or me or Anita, the human authorities can come down on her.
What can they possibly do to her?
I said. I keep hearing about her castle by the sea.
I wonder what would happen with a few well-placed bombs or even missiles. We are going to be playing with military friends.
Blowing up her lair would not rescue Demian, or Nathaniel, or you, but only make you die with her.
I'm just explaining that once we can bring the full weight of human intervention into vampire hunting, the options get really fun.
Mon ami, the Harlequin and other bodyguards are also going with them. It is not merely human police and soldiers who will be protecting them.
Then I must be content with that.
Yeah, you must,
Nathaniel said. Asher looked at him.
You are very angry with me.
Yes, I am. Did you expect that I would accept your apology and everything would just go back to the way it was?
Asher did that long blink that meant he was thinking.
Perhaps.
I've had months of you not with me. I didn't just curl up into a corner and wait for you. I never dreamed you'd work your issues and be willing to get on medication.
Nathaniel let go of Asher's hand.
None of us expected that from you.
It is a sign of how much I want to be well enough to be with you again.
It's a sign of how unhappy you are with just Cain,
Nathaniel said.
As if his name had conjured him, Cain swept the drapes aside and strode into the room. If I could see him objectively, he was tall, dark, and sort of handsome. Okay, maybe he was handsome, but the scowl on his face and the sourness of his energy just sort of ruined the packaging for me. His hair was almost black, but cut short and styled close to his head so that the hairdo looked like 100 you see every day. He was attractive, but in a totally mundane sort of way. He looked like someone that my college roommate might have wanted to date, but not someone that should have been Asher's main squeeze. Maybe it was having so many memories of him with Jean-Claude. After that, everyone else looked sort of ordinary. Okay, not everyone. Nathaniel wasn't. Or Micah, or... Maybe it was love that made people more than ordinary, and I so did not love Cain.
I knew it. You are poisoning him against me,
was Cain's opening remark.
You do your own poisoning, I said.
What's that supposed to mean?
He asked as he came farther into the room. One of the guards moved in front of him. Cain snarled at him, the echo of his beast trickling through it so the hairs on the back of my neck rose.
Are you so afraid of me that you have to use bodyguards?
Last time you took a swing at me, I bloodied you and put a gun to your head, Cain. I think the guards are to protect you, not me.
The snarl turned into a growl that reverberated through the room. The guard said,
You start to shift and I'll hurt you.
Asher, are you going to let them talk to me this way? We have a plane to catch, Anita,
Nathaniel said. And this time he meant it because he went for the far drapes that led to the door up and out. I started to follow him and then looked back at Jean-Claude. Let's say goodbye some more on the way up the stairs.
I think that is an excellent idea, ma petite.
Acknowledging it was his way of admitting that he didn't trust himself alone with this new contrite Asher either. I held my hand out to him and he came to take it. Asher said,
Am I forgiven anything?
Nathaniel swept the drapes to one side to hold them for us.
You still have to apologize to Dev, remember?
But you are taking Mephistopheles with you to Ireland, and you are leaving now.
I guess you'll have to apologize to him when we get back,
Nathaniel said.
Jean-Claude,
he said, and reached for the other man. I grabbed Jean-Claude's hand and kept him moving with us. We're not saying no, Asher, but you need to talk to everyone in our lives who stayed and worked their issues.
The people who helped us mourn you when you left deserve to know that you want back in before we decide anything,
Nathaniel said, and his voice was cold with anger. I wasn't angry, just had this weird desire to kiss him goodbye. I looked at Jean-Claude as I practically dragged him through the drapes toward the door. It wasn't my thought, it was his. Damn it, Asher had such a hold on him. What would happen if we left him alone with none of us here to balance it? Cain yelled,
Asher, what have you done?
I told you that I would ask their forgiveness.
I told you that you don't need them, any of them. We only need each other.
I wanted that to be true,
Asher said. Cain was trying to get past the guard who was blocking him.
What are you saying, Asher?
I need more.
More than me?
I'd heard this argument before and recently, except it had been Cardinal talking to Damien. What was with all the obsessive jealousy? It was like a theme. We really do have to go. The plane's waiting, I said.
Jean-Claude held back against my hand. It made me turn and look at him. I don't know if I'd have had the courage to say what needed to be said, but Nathaniel did.
If you take Asher back without him apologizing to Dev first, it would crush him, and he deserves better than that.
Jean-Claude looked at him, then stopped tugging against my hand.
I am sorry, ma petite, mon mine. I do not mean to be weak.
The three of us stepped closer together to hear each other over Kane's yelling. If we leave you alone like this, are you going to do something stupid with Asher? I asked. The moment I said it, I knew it was harsh, but we really did need to leave. There wasn't time to ease into it. He raised one graceful eyebrow at me. We really do need to catch the ride to the airport and head for Ireland, Jean-Claude. I don't have time to figure out how to talk to you about this. I'm sorry if that was blunt. He shook himself like a bird settling its feathers. I felt the energy change down his hand, which I was still holding as if I were afraid he'd run to Asher like some old romantic movie. He was calmer, and it was real, not just him hiding his feelings.
I am not planning to be stupid, ma petite. I've tried to avoid that for centuries.
We all try to avoid it, Nathaniel said. But we all have people and issues that make us stupid. We need to know that you won't let Asher upset our poly group.
I put my arm around Jean-Claude's waist and gazed up at him. I didn't think until just minutes ago that I'm taking all of your lovers with me. Even your regular blood donors are coming with us. I'd realized it was sort of a shitty thing to do even without Asher coming up like this. I'm sorry I didn't think about what it might mean for you sooner.
I called Jason. He's coming in to visit for a couple of days, Nathaniel said.
We both looked at him. Jason was my wolf to call, though we'd both been so worried that we'd be tied too closely together that a certain distance had gone into our bonding. He'd been another emergency tie for me. He was Nathaniel's best friend and one of my best friends. Until he'd gone to New York with his girlfriend, JJ, who was a ballet dancer there, he'd been the manager at Guilty Pleasures and one of the headline dancers. Technically, he hadn't moved permanently, but he was about to do a dance tryout for the dance troupe she was a part of, if they could get around him being a werewolf and not just human. If he got the job, he'd be the first paranormal American to dance with an all-human troupe. We all missed Jason, but JJ was the love of his life, and we wanted him to have a chance at that, and her job couldn't move here. You'd already realized we were leaving Jean-Claude on his own, hadn't you?
Yes, but when I realized that Micah was going to be gone longer than he'd thought, that's when I realized it might be a problem.
Do you think I am incapable of being on my own for a few days? Jean-Claude asked.
Nathaniel smiled at him.
Your power is based on lust and love, Jean-Claude.
I have been alone before, Nathaniel. I am not a child.
He almost never called him by his real name anymore. Not a good sign.
I've been addicted to sex. I will always be a recovering sex addict, Jean-Claude. I'm not saying you're addicted to sex or romance or relationships, but if sex were actually what I ate, and the only other food I could have was something as intimate as taking blood, I know I couldn't be anything but addicted to all of it. If I projected that onto you and it's not true, then I'm sorry. Jason will be here tomorrow, so you'll at least have a blood donor and someone to sleep in the bed with you.
I am fine alone, Nathaniel.
Good for you. I'm not.
Asher was finally yelling back at Kane behind us. The bodyguards were moving in to help contain it since their fights sometimes erupted into real violence. I looked at Asher, and touching Jean-Claude, I saw him through more years than I'd been alive. I saw him through true love and romance and loss and so much, but all I could think was, did we really want to hit this mess again? The answer from Jean-Claude's emotions was a resounding yes. Nathaniel touched us both, hugging us close.
I miss him too, Jean-Claude. I can't find anyone else who can do what he does for me in the dungeon. But look at him with Kane. Asher chose to tie himself to Kane for all eternity as master and animal to call. Kane isn't that powerful. He isn't the head of an animal group. What kind of master vampire would tie themselves to Kane?
I tied you and Damien to me by accident, so I don't have many stones to throw on that one.
You were brand new to the power. Asher isn't.
I have never said that Asher was wise,
Jean-Claude said. Well, that's true, I said. Nathaniel looked back at the fight.
I was addicted to sex. Asher is addicted to the idea of true love. Addictions never end in anything but misery.
Did you not believe that Asher could break his addiction as you did yours? Jean-Claude asked.
The apology was epic, but the fight with Cain is just the same old shit.
I looked at Nathaniel as if I'd never seen him before. That was like a mix of me and you talking, I said out loud.
We all gained something from our metaphysical ties. Maybe I gained a little more toughness.
What did I gain?
You're picking up too much of Jean-Claude's emotions to think clearly,
Nathaniel said. I gazed up at the vampire in my arms. Yeah, I guess I am.
Jean-Claude, Jason will be in from New York tomorrow. Micah's hoping to be home in a couple of days.
You talked to Micah about this? I asked.
Of course I did.
Nathaniel looked surprised that I hadn't thought he would. I guess I thought you were mad at him.
He didn't say no, Anita. He just never saw himself married to another man, so he's working his way through it.
Jean-Claude hugged Nathaniel. We all have our drama, do we not, Pussycat?
Nathaniel smiled.
Yeah.
He hugged him back and nestled his head against the taller man's shoulder. Again, it was an escalation of physicality between them, and it was Nathaniel who was pushing the envelope again. I was beginning to think that Micah wasn't the only long game he was playing. Hell, Nathaniel had pursued me for years before I finally realized I loved him. He didn't catch me. I just stopped fighting what was already true. My issues had nearly cost me one of the loves of my own life. Nathaniel was a submissive personality, but I was learning slowly that submissive didn't mean weak, and that really all the power is with the sub, because once they safe word, then everything stops. I watched him cuddling with Jean-Claude and realized that it might not just be the dungeon where Nathaniel had power.
By tomorrow night you won't be alone, he said. Can you resist Asher for that long?
Do you really think I am that weak around him?
Do you?
Nathaniel asked him back. I watched the two men, the demand in Nathaniel's face and the doubt in Jean-Claude's.
I will not be that weak.
Just hold out until Jason gets here tomorrow. He'll help you.
Jean-Claude's phone rang. He was going to ignore it, but the ringtone was the one we both had for Richard Zeman, our almost long-lost third. We hadn't seen him in weeks. He'd been off on some trip for the college he taught at. Jean-Claude hit the button with the sounds of the fight behind us escalating, so there was no way he wouldn't hear it over the phone. It made us walk out from the curtained living room, and when Nathaniel opened the big dungeon-looking door to the bottom of the stairs, we all went through so that Jean-Claude could hear. He made small noises, mostly yes and hmm sounds. He hung up and looked at me.
Richard is coming to spend the night and help me talk to Asher and Cain.
I didn't call Richard, Nathaniel said.
Me either.
He says that Raphael called him after he heard the news from Micah. Apparently our pussycat is not the only one who does not trust me alone with Asher, even for a night.
Jean-Claude stared at the phone in his hand and then looked up at us.
Richard has not stayed overnight in the same bed with me in nearly a year. Apparently no one trusts my judgment about this.
You were in love with Asher for centuries, and your happiest memories were the 20 years you and he had with Juliana. Jean-Claude, that much history is hard for anyone to resist, I said. Jean-Claude glanced back at the door. We couldn't hear the fight through the dungeon door. It was nearly soundproof.
I will walk up with you. Richard should be here soon after that.
And just like that, he acknowledged that he didn't trust his judgment around Asher either. Chapter 33. I used to think that my fear of flying was based on not knowing the pilot. Had he been drug tested recently? Was he well rested? Trustworthy? How about the plane? Was it flightworthy? Was the maintenance crew that last looked at it competent? Were the parts going to fall off if everything shook too much? I mean, how well made was this plane? But I knew Jean-Claude's pilot. I knew he was drug-free, well-rested, trustworthy, and had a wife and two kids to come home to, so he wanted to live as much as any of us. I knew the jet was well-serviced and well-maintained because Jean-Claude saw to it. Micah double-checked it since he used the plane more than anyone. I trusted both of them to value us enough to make sure it all worked. I'd had to own that my phobia wasn't based on any of those things. It was a phobia from a commercial airline flight that had gone dangerously wrong but hadn't quite crashed. But ever since then, I'd hated flying.
Okay, since then I'd been terrified of flying and hated it.
Jean-Claude's new plane seated 15 and even had a section that could be curtained off in case someone wanted some privacy, though since everyone I was traveling with had super hearing, the privacy was very illusionary. There was a minibar and food on board. If we crashed in the Andes, not that we were going anywhere near them on this flight, but if we did, we wouldn't have to resort to cannibalism for at least a couple of weeks. The seats were comfortable and swiveled so that you only sat two by two, but the seats faced each other in four-person conversation groups, or you could swivel and talk to the people on the other side of the narrow aisle without having to turn your head. I mean, why make that much effort, right? I'd been on one flight years ago that had probably been the victim of epic wind shear, which you actually couldn't